Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
There are some long-term impediments to the rate of growth that we're going to see in GDP and the stock market, and there are some short-term headwinds to GDP and the performance of the stock market. So let's go over the long-term headwinds first. There's three of them: debt, interest rates, and demographics. The immigration rate is to this country, people immigrating to this country, is down from 2 million people per year to zero. 2 million people were coming across the border in the last few years to zero. And so, just so you know, population growth, or in particular, labor force growth, is half of GDP growth. And we have zero immigration right now. The population growth is 1.8% per year post-World War II. That was our annual growth rate after World War II. And now it's declined to less than a half of 1% today. The population is also aging. There's 4.1 million baby boomers that are reaching 65 years old annually. And that is why all the, that has led to the labor force participation rate falling from 58% post-World War II to all the way down to 62% after rising to 66%. So just to get this correct, 58% rose to 66% from 1990 to 2008, and now it's down to 62% today. And every little percentage is a lot. So don't poo-poo that, oh, well, it's not so bad falling from 66 to 62. That's a lot, because the rise from 58 to 66 meant that people were funding their 401k plans, funding their retirement, and a lot of money was going to into the stock market. And that means that we've had no employment growth from January 2025 to today. There's been no new added workers. Forget about seasonal adjustments or any other garbage. There's 170 million people, 170.7 to be exact, total workers in 2025, January 25. Today is 170.4 million people employed. So there's less people employed, less people funding their retirement, and it's just less money coming into the stock market. And then you have to add to that the fact that the 4.5-decade-long bull market in bonds is over. And that's due to insolvency and inflation. Interest rates are now rising. We have too much debt, and we are an insolvent nation. And we have an inflation problem that we have not yet addressed fully at all, to be exact. We're still way above 2% inflation. And then you add to that debt. The total business debt to GDP is the same today as it was at the start of the global financial crisis. There was $10.4 trillion, 70% of GDP, of debt in 2007. Today there's $22 trillion of business debt, 70% of GDP. Total federal debt was 30% of GDP in 1980. It was 2000. It was in 2007, 63%. Today, it's 123% of GDP. And debt-laden economies just don't grow that fast. And then we have the nucleus of the debt bubble, which is the $2 trillion private credit issue. That's larger than subprime. Subprime was $1.3 trillion. The default rate on private credit is 9.2%. It's equal to the same rate of default that there was at the start of the global financial crisis. So those three are long, those three conditions: debt, insolvent amount of debt, rising interest rates after 4.5 decades of falling, and an aging demographic to this country where the population growth isn't growing and the labor force is shrinking. Those are very secular, long-term secular headwinds to growth. But what about the short term? Well, first of all, we've talked about this a lot in this program. Inflation has been crushing the bottom four quintiles. It has been doing that since 2022. And the war in Iran is exacerbating the problem. And what's happening is that you have, even though the household has deleveraged somewhat on the margins, even though I just went over that there's tons of business debt and there's tons of federal debt, the household has deleveraged, but their cash flow is being destroyed through inflation. And I can prove that but by the plunging savings rate. The savings rate pre-COVID was 7%, personal savings rate. During COVID, it shot up to 32%, because think of all that all those stimulus checks that the government was spending and the Fed was printing. Today, the savings rate has plunged to 4.5%. And what's happening is that their expenses, making ends meet, has become untenable for the bottom four quintiles. And the war in Iran is greatly exacerbating that problem. There's also a liquidity problem. The reverse repo facility was $2.5 trillion. These are the fallow funds laying at the Fed to buy bonds and stocks. Today, it's zero. So you had $2.5 trillion pouring into the stock market and the bond market over the past 3 years, and that's over with. Financial conditions are tightening. Credit spreads are widening as we speak. There's a pretty significant reverse wealth effect. Housing is rolling over, equities are falling over, and the bond market is falling over. And the spike in energy prices and derivatives are offsetting the fiscal stimulus from the One Big Beautiful Bill, and the monetary stimulus has been canceled. Inflation is just putting any potential rate cuts from the Federal Reserve on the back burner. Now, Jerome Powell did cut some rates before the war, and he has printed $130 billion since the end of 2025. I find it remarkable that President Trump would like to replace Powell because he hasn't destroyed the purchasing power of the middle class and the purchasing power of the American dollar fast enough. He printed $130 billion since the end of 2025. Now, Fed President Warsh, Fed Chair Warsh, if and when he takes the seat in July, is when he's scheduled to cut interest rates. I don't think he's going to do that. But I'll tell you what he is going to do. He wants to shrink the balance sheet. The Federal Reserve balance sheet will start shrinking, in my opinion. And that is really going to put a lot of pressure on markets. And I don't think Kevin Warsh cares about markets. He cares about the middle class. And that's a wonderfully refreshing point of view from Mr. Warsh. So let me just briefly go over my holdings. We started to reduce risk in the portfolio January 28th. This is why we are having an up positive year. We're up about a little over 1% in the model portfolio. We're 70% T-bills in cash, 30% energy, agriculture, and precious metals. 3% defensive equities and 2% shorts. That's it. And, you know, a day like today and yesterday, people say, sometimes they might think, well, why am I not just short, you know, just outright short equities and maybe even be aggressively short? Well, look what would have happened to your portfolio today with the Dow going up 1,000 points yesterday and ripping today, 2-3% in the last couple of days for all the major averages. That's a face-ripping rally. That's, you know, it's very possible to happen when you have the president's social media very influential. You know, the war's over and the stock market booms. We're going to wipe out all the electric infrastructure of Iran and their desalination plants if we don't get the Strait of Hormuz turned over to us immediately. Then the next day, well, the Strait of Hormuz isn't important and we're going to end the war. The war's over. In the meantime, battleships are steaming towards the Gulf. So anything can happen. The president's speaking tonight at 9 o'clock. We'll see what he wants to say. I think he wants to end the war. He's looking for an off-ramp. The question is, will Iran and Israel give him that off-ramp? My own personal opinion is that we broke the egg and now we have to make an omelet. If the president were to leave right now, I think it was a big mistake to go into Iran to this duration and this intensity. We just should have taken out the Ayatollah Khomeini and just moved on. But since we've engendered and fomented so much antipathy from the IRGC, we have to stay there now and take that oil. We have to take over Kargil and we have to take over the Strait of Hormuz. It's going to be a long, dragged out battle. If we were to leave now, in my opinion, if we were to leave now, I think oil prices would stay high for a very, very, very long time. Iran would cut the supply of oil to its enemies. It would charge excessive tolls for its friends, and their control would be validated, underwritten, and they would know that they control the world's potential growth in their own hands by intermittently cutting off the Strait of Hormuz, maybe even the Red Sea, if their proxies are able to do it, and hold the world captive. That's the situation we're in now. But for the meantime, I am going to follow my model assiduously. So my model got us out of this, you know, dodged a huge bullet. If the war ends quickly and oil prices crash and there seems to be peace breaking out and the Strait of Hormuz is opened, I will get more long the stock market. If, on the other hand, we get involved in a long, protracted ground war in Iran, or we walk away right now and, like I say, oil prices remain very high along with energy prices and fertilizer and agricultural derivatives, then we are going to most likely have a recession. The end of the credit cycle will be upon us, and the stock market is going to crash, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50%. And I plan on being in sector one there, where we're going to be short the stock market to a very sizable degree. It has never been more important than it is right now to be in an actively managed portfolio. We are going to stay nimble, we are going to stay adroit, and have maximum flexibility. And that is the only way to go.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.